Now, here's Creatively Speaking with Jim Cotter.
Hello. This morning we take you to last night's East Coast premiere of the opera Margaret Garner. The Opera Company of Philadelphia's production of the Toni Morrison, Richard Daniel Poor work opened at the Academy of Music. We'll speak with the two creators. Jason Pfeiffer takes a look at Temple Theatre's In the Round rendition of Tom Stoppard's comedy On the Razzle. And in our regular perusal of the Culture Files section of GoPhila.com, Susan Lewis takes us inside the Institute of Contemporary Art in Philadelphia. That's all ahead this morning, with your help, Creatively Speaking.
Support for Creatively Speaking comes from the Greater Philadelphia Tourism Marketing Corporation, the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, and the listeners of WRTI.
And a very good morning, and joining me, as you've probably just heard, is Jack Moore.
You betcha.
And Susan Lewis.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Saturday morning.
Wow, and everybody's all wide awake and everything.
I've never been here on a Saturday morning, in person, actually.
It's pretty exciting, isn't it? All right.
Well, we think so.
We do it because we have a reason to be here today, and that is to encourage you to call and make a pledge. 866-809-9784 is the telephone number, and we start our 11 o'clock hour not at all into our goal for the hour.
Well, not at all.
18 pledges in the next hour.
And we also need to say thank you to those people who pledged in the last hour.
And quite a number of them did.
Quite a number of them did, and we'd like you to continue this upward trend as we go forward this morning. It's very important that we make our goals as we go along, and we can only do that with your help. What do you do on a Saturday, Susan?
Saturday is the day that I do everything that I never got to do during the week. So when I was driving the kids to school or running to a meeting or going grocery shopping and listening to WRTI and thinking, gee, I'd really like to pledge, but I don't have time right now. Saturday morning is the time that you can do all those things that you didn't have time to do during the week.
Opening mail.
Opening mail, opening your checkbook.
Or your wallet.
Or your wallet. Going to the phone and dialing 866-809-9784.
866-809-9784. It takes but a simple telephone call, and you've taken care of that business that you weren't able to take care of during the week.
Exactly. This is the time to do it. 866-809-9784. Now, you had a pretty big night last night.
Well, it wasn't a big night for me, per se, but both of us actually went along to see the opening East Coast premiere of Richard Daniel Poor and Toni Morrison's Margaret Garner.
Wow.
It was quite an event.
Yes.
Very exciting.
And you got to meet Toni Morrison as well.
Finally.
After all this time. And we're going to hear about it.
We are indeed.
All right. With a quick reminder that the number to phone, the toll-free call, 866-809-9784.
We should remind people of the goal that we have for this hour. We have a goal of 18 pledges, which we can do with your help. And the easiest way that you do that is decide that it's Saturday now, you've got time to relax, you've got that couple of minutes to spend on the phone, you've got your wallet or your pocketbook nearby, and you're just going to simply take your credit card out of there and dial 1-866-809-9784.
866-809-9784.
We're here on the Avenue of the Arts on a Friday evening. Always busy here on a Friday with the Kimmel Center, a multitude of theaters and restaurants, but it's especially busy tonight. Cars are pulling up, disgorging their passengers onto a red carpet leading into the Academy as people arrive for the East Coast premiere of Margaret Garner. Let's go inside. We're here with Toni Morrison, who's the librettist, who sang hello to Kenny Leon, the director.
How are you?
You
look good. You look good.
We'll talk later about it.
Yes, okay. Wonderful.
When you set about creating this opera with Richard Daniel Poor, did you have in your idea an imagining of how the process would be? And if so, how was the reality different from that?
I was assured that my writing talents were enough and that I didn't have to worry about all the business part, obviously the scoring, the structure of an opera is so different from everything. It's such a big thing. So I had some trepidation, and I had some feelings of confidence in other areas. like the language was what I was most interested in and challenged by, and also to reveal certain kinds of dramatic arcs that I thought were important. And then you rest and you let the music do the rest of the work. That process I had only known in a limited way with working with lyrics with other composers. This was much more complicated, more challenging, more exciting. And there are more possibilities. And the real extraordinary thing that happened, and I guess everyone says this, but it's always startling to me, is when the performers take the language and the music and move it, and then it's real. And then you know it's truly wonderful, or not. But that's the layer, you know, that was extremely exciting for me.
I guess as a writer, your work exists the minute it's on the page, the minute it's read by somebody. In this instance, as you say, you were relying on other people to give life to it. I'm guessing that was rewarding in some ways, also maybe a little frustrating.
Sometimes very frustrating. I stayed out of areas in which I don't know anything. But I, you know, would comment on things when I thought they were going awry. Particularly when you're cutting and editing and what's vital and what is not. So I was very much involved in that.
So tell me about your feelings now. You've seen it three times, Detroit, since... Well, you've seen it more than three times. You've seen it in two other cities, Detroit and Cincinnati. What's the feeling now? A lot of work has been done since the world premiere. Are you looking forward to seeing it now? And it's current, we'll say current, but I'm presuming this will be its final form.
I'm very excited about seeing it this time, precisely because it grows, it gets polished, the cast is more comfortable, they can manipulate things in a much easier way. So for me, I'm looking at different things now. The first time was, oh my God, you know, is anybody going to fall down? And then the second time and subsequent times. So this time, it's polished in a number of ways. So now I can concentrate on smaller things.
And enjoy it, I hope.
And enjoy it.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're now standing in the lobby of the Academy. There's a tangible air of excitement here as people pick up their tickets and make their way into the Academy of Music. Just a few moments now before curtain up. I think we're going to go and take our seats. And as we make our way to our seats, we spot Opera Company of Philadelphia, producing artistic director Bob Driver. So are you ready for tonight then?
Oh yeah. I'm ready for that bloody curtain to go up. This is not like the Grecian urn for me. I want the thing to happen now.
Enjoy. Thank you. Great. Conductor Stefan Lano receiving the crowd's appreciation. And here we go. And so it went. 3 hours of stunning music as the emotionally wrenching story of Margaret Garner, the slave woman who killed her children rather than see them too live as slaves, unfolded. This final production, with the star-studded original cast of Denise Graves, Greg Baker, Angela Brown and Rodney Guilfrey, is at the Academy of Music in Philadelphia through February 26th.
And you're listening to Creatively Speaking, and a very important number at the moment. 866-809-9784. That's the toll-free number to make a pledge during this winter fund drive.
It was amazing. We were just talking, actually, about the fact that the level of pride and how much people feel a great sense that they're involved in a really healthy cultural community. When we get something like Margaret Garner that the Opera Company of Philadelphia produced with two other opera companies, Detroit and Cincinnati, and it really is quite phenomenal that a work like that can be created in a time like this.
Oh, and it's really exciting because it involves so many people coming together and committing to something they really believe in.
And committing in a big way. This is something that costs probably millions of dollars. I don't know the finances of it, but and I can just imagine the conversation that took place initially. If you think about the subject matter, we're going to do an opera about slavery. We're going to do an opera about a woman who kills her children. This must have been an amazing selling job, and it's an amazing work. In fairness, having a Nobel laureate, Toni Morrison, write the libretto, and probably one of the most significant living composers in the world, Richard Daniel Poor, be involved in the creative process would have aided that, I'd say. But the final results are to behold.
Well, we can involve you now in the creative process, the creation of programming that meets your needs and entertains you and informs you throughout the day and evening, by having you dial and make a pledge now as a member of WRTI during our winter fund drive. Here is the number. And at the moment, we're still looking for 18 calls.
Oh, wow.
So 866-809-9784.
866-809-9784.
You know, producing an opera, especially a brand new opera, I mean, a composer who writes an opera is walking up a tall mountain with with sneakers on. It's a tough thing to do. And in fact, a lot of composers that I know won't even touch opera because there's just no way to ever get it produced. So that the fact that this came to fruition is really an amazing thing, but a really expensive thing to do. And producing art such as this has a cost involved.
And we're there in support of all of these things. Obviously, we're not writing million-dollar checks so that that we can have this stellar cast and we can have these amazing creative people. But along the way, as this opera has been developed, we've been there from almost the genesis. We've spent time as they workshopped it. We've spent time with the composers. He was writing and finalizing that. And it was nice last night that a lot of people came and said, oh, yeah, we feel a part of it because WRTI was with us, telling us about it as it developed, telling us how the process was going, letting us hear from the director, letting us hear from the stars, letting us have long-form interviews, as we've had several with Richard Daniel Poor, about the actual process of creating an opera. And as I say, we're not there. We're not the ones who are producing that. That is a whole wealth of creative talent in this city at the Opera Company of Philadelphia who are responsible for this. But we like to feel that we've done our little part. And when I say we, I don't mean the three of us here or all of the people in this building. The we in this equation is we, the member listeners. It's as near to we the people as we can get, but it is the ultimate statement of democracy that you want a radio station such as this to exist, and you make it exist by the good old-fashioned way, paying for it.
Right.
And you do that.
And it's easy to pay for it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call and talk to one of our operators. 866-809-9784. And 15 more people need to do that this hour. We've had a couple of, and in fact, a couple of new members have joined us for the first time. And we thank you for that.
Excellent.
Here's one more time for the number.
866-809-9784.
And we're off now to...
Well, we're not going anywhere yet.
Okay, fine.
We're going to dig our heels in and say we need to hear, well, just from another couple of people in this break, because obviously the breaks are shorter this time of the day. There's a lot of content in what we're doing it's I think, difficult to have a conversation with the telephone operator while this is taking place. So we just want to remind you once again, you are responsible for not just this, but all of the programming that you hear on WRTI that we get to produce for you. It's local. It's not something we're taking off a satellite or that we're buying it from somewhere else. We actually have the likes of Susan Lewis here beside me, who are actually going out and spending a lot of time and a lot of energy to bring you this information. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go and do it yourself.
Right.
One of the things I've learned since being here is how much goes into producing radio. Producing a 5-minute story involves so much work with interviewing and talking to people and coming back and writing things and really creating a product so that we can accurately communicate it to you about what's happening in the arts. But it's really a wonderful way to kind of create community within the art.
And it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of energy, and it takes money.
Yes, it does.
It takes the money that you are going to contribute now, because you know it's time, it's Saturday, you're relaxed, you're ready for this, you know it's something worthwhile to do. You do that by picking up your credit card. Write down this number. 1-866-809-9784.
866-809-9784.
The Tom Stoppard comedy On the Razzle premiered at the 1981 Edinburgh Festival. It then had a very successful run at the National Theatre in London. The following year, it made its United States debut in Washington, D.C. at the Arena Stage. Doug Wager received stellar reviews for his direction of the Arena show, and now, nearly 25 years later, Wager revisits On the Razzle, but this time as artistic director of Temple Theatres. Creatively Speaking's Jason Pfeiffer has more on this latest Temple production and Doug Wager's arena-style approach to the play.
When Doug Wager first saw On the Razzle during its inaugural run at the National Theatre in London, the production was staged in a relatively traditional fashion. Audience members sat on one side of the stage and together watched the story unfold with similar sight lines to the play's action. But as Wager worked to bring On the Razzle to his theatre, the Arena Stage, he knew the show would have an entirely different feel. As the name implies, the Arena Stage is known for performing shows in the round, with the audience surrounding the performance space. This type of staging isn't done very often, so after 25 seasons at the Arena, 7 as artistic director, Doug Wager could be considered an expert on staging plays in this style. He modestly describes himself as a passionate advocate.
Whatever play you put in it, it forces you to rethink the world of the play and its relationship to an audience, because there's no such thing as a traditional approach visually to it, and therefore the experience is automatically translated into something very contemporary and very immediate without doing anything other than putting it in the round. You start there and you're automatically at working outside the box.
Last year, Wager was named the artistic director of Temple Theatres. One of his jobs is to help program the school's theater season. As Wager considered the lineup for this year, On the Razzle made the shortlist. With his experience in presenting the Stoppard play In the Round in 1982, Wager saw doing On the Razzle as an opportunity to introduce young Temple actors and designers to arena-style theater. As he's directing the play a second time around, Wager explains the benefit of having worked with the show before.
In the rehearsal process, I had a whole treasure trove of material to go back on and look at to sort of compare and contrast, knowing that I have better ideas or more sublime ways of doing those things now than I did then. So it certainly has the energy and the aspect and the imaginative spin of what we did then, but it's certainly its own animal now.
Based on a popular comedy written by 19th century Austrian playwright Johann Nestroy, On the Razzle begins in a small Austrian town during the mid-1800s. The story centers around a grocer, Zangler, who in anticipation of a trip to Vienna, leaves his store in the care of two of his clerks. In Zangler's absence, the two workers decide to sneak off to Vienna themselves for a day of adventure. Meanwhile, Zangler's niece, Marie, has run off to Vienna too, with a forbidden suitor. A fast-paced story of mistaken identities, slapstick comedy, and close encounters ensues. True to the form of many Tom Stoppard plays, On the Razzle showcases an abundance of word plays and puns. Take, for instance, this scene, where the habitually tongue-twisted Zangler, played by Austin Durant, delegates charge of his grocery store to his employee, Vineborough, played by Ryan Jones.
Frustration is too good for him, Chief.
I'm sending Marie away for a few days. You'll have to manage the while to till.
No. To while the time?
No.
To till the while.
That's the boy. You'll have to manage the till the while and cook the books. No.
Do the cook?
No.
Do the books?
That's the boy. I suppose you're prepared for that?
Very well prepared.
In addition to Stoppard's clever dialogue, there's also a lot of physical comedy in On the Razzle, which is not an easy task in the round. At any one time, a performer's back is always facing about half the audience, so all the gestures and facial expressions that aid comedic moments are easily missed if an actor isn't careful about playing to all sides of the stage. Performing farce in the round requires precision and practice. Temple University senior Austin Durant notes this is why the rehearsal process of On the Razzle was all the more challenging.
You got to constantly stay aware of where you are, and sometimes it takes a little work to make it look natural.
In the round set design can be tricky too. Although On the Razzle set designer Dirk DeRosset has been designing professionally for 10 years, he says this is his first time working with the arena form. DeRosset explains he's struck by the careful attention that needs to be given to all aspects of the set.
You know, you can't have a piece of scenery that has a back that's ugly because someone's going to see that. So you have to, all the pieces you put on there, and since you don't have walls to put things up against and hide things against, you just have to really thoroughly think about objects differently than if you were just setting something up.
With no walls and little scenery, nearly every design element is significantly impacted when the arena style is chosen. From set design to costume design to lighting design, the non-traditional setup demands special consideration. Indeed, Doug Wager says that for all involved with Temple Theaters, staging On the Razzle in the Round is really an experiment. The project marks the first time Temple Theaters will have presented a main stage arena-style production since the mid-80s, and even then it wasn't fully in the round. But Wager says depending on how On the Razzle pans out, Temple Theater audiences could very well see more of the arena style in the near future.
That was Jason Pfeiffer. On the Razzle is at Temple University's Tomlinson Theater on 13th and Norris Streets in Philadelphia through February 18th.
And you're listening to Creatively Speaking here on WRTI, and we're stopping the proceedings at the moment to urge you to make a call and make a pledge during our winter fund drive. 866-809-9784.
It is an interesting thing about everything that we're covering here, though, that with the exception of, as I talked to Toni Morrison about, with the exception, I think, of writers, painters, composers, much of what we cover here is about groups of people coming together to achieve a goal. It's true with Margaret Garner. It's true also with those young people at Temple Theatre who are going to go on to, we know, great careers in theatre because of the kind of training that they get here at Temple. But it's important that that exists, that kind of collaboration.
Right. And when you're in a production like that, whether you're an actor or you're on the stage crew or you're working on the program, or it's important that everyone show up and everyone be at the dress rehearsal and everyone be at the performance. And today it's very important that you show up for this performance.
This is not a dress rehearsal.
This is a real thing. But it is absolutely true that there are elements in something like a theater production, as Susan says, like if the lighting guy doesn't show up on the night, you're in big trouble.
Sure.
So by the same token, if you don't show up today, think of yourself as the lighting guy. Think of yourself as somebody who really needs to be involved in this. We don't know what your role is. You only know what your role is, and you only know at what level you're prepared to become involved. And you do that by dialing 1-866-809-9784.
We have had a number of pledges come in. We're still looking for 12 during our program today. So here is the number, and we're depending on you to be a part of the cast in all of this.
866-809-9784.
Now in our regular look inside the Culture File section of GoPhila.com, creatively speaking, Susan Lewis visits the Institute of Contemporary Art in Philadelphia.
On the cozy corner of 36th and Sansom Streets, steps from restaurants, shops, and hotels, ICA sits with quiet boldness. Natural light streams in from windows that stretch up along the sides of the lobby. White walls give the space a stylish, uncluttered feel. The Institute of Contemporary Art is designed, in the words of its mission statement, to develop, affirm, and challenge the public's understanding of contemporary art. Of course, that may be the rub. Just what is the public's notion of contemporary art? What's yours? If what springs to mind are the deceptively simple, large canvases with primary colors splashed in random fashion, or the deliberately shocking private parts on dinner plates, well, that's only a tiny fraction of the possibilities. Contemporary art is difficult to describe or wrap your mind around in any comprehensive way. It is defined as much by the timing of its creation as by its content, says Janelle Porter, associate curator of the Institute.
Most people define contemporary artists 1970s on. Contemporary artists that we're looking at work in all media, from sculpture to painting to what we call installation or site-specific pieces, photography, film and video, projects designed for the web. Contemporary art, it seems nowadays, can be anything.
In 1963, a desire to keep pace with current developments in the visual arts led architect Holmes Perkins, then dean of the Graduate School of Fine Arts at the University of Pennsylvania, to start ICA. Over the years, it grew in renown and presented artists who would go on to make significant splashes in the art world. ICA doesn't collect artwork. Instead, for its three exhibition slots, each of which are a few months long, it puts together shows which range from one person to group exhibitions organized by themes, from traveling shows which ICA hosts to works that ICA has specifically commissioned. When you have an art world defined by the moment and a versatile gallery space in which walls are sometimes built just to accommodate the art, it's no surprise that at any one time a visitor to ICA will likely experience a range of styles, media, and messages. Staff curators responsible for putting together the exhibits plan between 1 and 3 years in advance and look for artists on the cutting edge of art, design, and architecture, says Porter.
Artists that are perhaps older and underrecognized or emerging and exciting, But when it comes to architecture, we're not doing, say, a survey show of like models and drawings of their work, but commissioning them to make a more conceptual project for a space.
An example of conceptual architecture is up when we visit. The large, multi-angular, pink-and-white structure called Holiday Home was designed by the Amsterdam-based UN Studio and sent to ICA as a digital image, says ICA's Jill Katz.
Before we knew it, 4 tons of wood came in pieces that were shipped here. Our crew assembled it all together in 2 weeks.
From the adjacent gallery, muted, bell-like sounds from the glass harmonica beckon. This is the project room, currently occupied by Brian Toll's new work, commissioned as part of the Benjamin Franklin birthday celebration, the centerpiece of which is a two-headed rattlesnake suspended at eye level. The snake is cut into 50 red and blue sections, each of which correspond to an American state and whether it went red or blue in the 2004 presidential election. The segments are magnetized and occasionally click when they join together. We head downstairs through the ramp space, where the walls are painted in a graffiti, of a sort. Although this is not the only spot to experience this work of artist Ingrid Colombe, says Porter.
You see it's in 3 pieces, and that's because she really used this window as a frame for what is happening on the wall. And if you stand across the street, there's sort of a perfect vantage to get these 3 different moments of painting to completely flatten out and look like one image.
The large downstairs gallery is home for the moment to Gone Formalism, an exhibit curated by Porter, in which she assembles the work of 6 different artists, some sculpture, some drawings and paintings, some familiar-looking decorative pieces. The space invites wandering, and although literature is available at the door, visitors are not overloaded with interpretation. Porter says that this art is to be experienced more than explained.
One thing I do tell people when they're looking at contemporary art is that it's okay not to like it. Maybe something you don't like will create a stronger experience or feeling in you.
The art at ICA is almost like performing art, the expression of ideas that exist in the moment. The current exhibitions, along with related lectures, tours, and special events, run through March 26th. At the end of the show, some art will leave, some will be painted over, and some will be demolished. A few weeks after that, new art will appear, provoking new ideas and new possibilities to contemplate.
WRTI's Susan Lewis. More information on the Institute of Contemporary Art is available at the Culture File section of gofilla.com. And more information on the WRTI is available at 866-809-9784. That's where you need to go to show your commitment not only to the music that you hear at WRTI, and we know that that's the principal reason why we're here, but also that we can give you some of the background, we can give you the broader brushstrokes around some of the arts events and some of the arts organizations and institutions that exist in this and all of the regions where we can be heard. 1-866-809-9784.
Now, at this point in time, 6 calls will do it for us.
6 calls.
All right. 866-809-9784.
But we have but a minute to get those 6 calls,
right.
so we really are on the cush.
We're not going to say anything interesting for the next minute, so you can be guaranteed you won't miss anything. 866-809-9784.
And you can always log on to the website and browse all the premiums.
Absolutely. Actually, you can even pledge there, although we don't see it on our tote board then. So
that's okay.
Sad.
Yeah. www.wrti.org, as if you didn't already know.
Right. Not only that, you can see all the listings of what we're going to do. You can see highlights of today's Creatively Speaking show. And later on, you can actually hear what has happened on the webpage by listening back to the show.
Yeah, the ridiculous thing is that as we're saying this, you might well be listening on the web on Tuesday because we're going to post this, which makes it all very confusing. So if you're listening on Tuesday, we still need your support at 1-866-809-9784. And things like those web archives, those are the things that you're paying for as well, not merely the broadcast, but all of the other facilities that we give to you, ways that you can, for instance, find what's been played on the air. It's all there at WRTI.org, paid for by our member listeners. The number one last time.
866-809-9784.
866-809-9784.
And that's it for now. Our program produced because of your continued support at 1-866-809-9784. With thanks also this week to Tracy Gallagher and Paula Butler. Creatively Speaking's theme music is by Bill Jolly. Our executive producer is Jack Moore. And I'm Jim Cotter.
Creatively Speaking is a production of WRTI in Philadelphia. Support for the program comes from the Greater Philadelphia Tourism Marketing Corporation, the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, and the listeners of WRTI.
WRTI's Fun Drive continues. Call now with your pledge, 1-866-809-9784. 1-866-809-9784. You're listening to member-supported WRTI Philadelphia, WRTQ Ocean City, Atlantic City, WRTL Effort 11 in Lancaster, WRTY Jackson Township, Mount Pocono, WJAZ Summerdale, Harrisburg, and WRTX Dover.